But again, the whole point for me is you got to get, if you want to do something different, you got to do something different. And getting people thinking about what makes you happy in life and what makes you content and what does happiness mean, and little visual reminders like confetti are easy ways of doing that.
Hello and welcome to episode 114 of the Think Big, Act Small podcast. I'm Tristan White and I'm your host as usual. In this episode, we're exploring the topic of doing things differently in your service-based business with guest Clarissa Raywood. Now, Clarissa is a divorce lawyer with a difference. She refuses to accept that her work or her profession has to be done the way it is done by most. Since 2008, Clarissa has been owning and operating the Brisbane Family Law Centre, where she practices family law. Since 2013, she's also been blogging, coaching and supporting other lawyers to be happier and more content with their lives via the philosophy that's now become a business, and she calls it Happy Lawyer, Happy Life. In the interview, some super helpful learnings that Clarissa shares include the simple system and filter she uses to build a law firm that continues to be different to most. What is a confetti lawyer? And how owning a term like that has helped her to live her purpose. The skill of saying no, and how Clarissa has learned to flex that muscle. And the three-part system that Clarissa uses to maintain her happiness and sustain her leadership lifestyle. You will really enjoy this interview from Clarissa. She's interesting, she's smart, and she's got a lot to share and for us to learn from. If you can learn more from Clarissa, check her out on Instagram. Her handle is @thehappyfamilylawyer. That's The Happy Family Lawyer on Instagram. Alrighty, that's enough from me this time around. It's time for the interview with Clarissa Raywood. Enjoy. Clarissa Raywood, welcome to the Think Big, Act Small podcast. Rapt to have you here. Now, there's so much I could ask you and I could introduce you with, but let's just start from the start, Clarissa. Firstly, how are you and where are you in January 2024?
I am good is the answer to your question. I am in sunny Bris Vegas at my office at the moment, looking out over the Brisbane River, which is brown. So I call it water views, but yeah. I do chuckle when I think about my friends that have actual, you know, Sydney Harbour water views. I'm like, yeah, this is a bit different up here. But nonetheless, that's where I am.
Well, Clarissa, similar but different. I don't have it right now, but in Melbourne, we've got the Yarra, and it's pretty brown, the Yarra in Melbourne. So I guess there's some similarity there. Hey, Clarissa, I wanted to just double check. I introduced you as Clarissa Raywood, but it is spelled like Raywood. How do I pronounce it? What is the right way to say?
Yeah, you're right, Raywood. And I just last night was signing off on something, buying a laptop for my daughter, and, you know, they ask the name and I say Raywood, and they write WOOD, and I don't know, how do you even names? It's so funny, isn't it? Like silly little things. But yes, I answer to any variation. I don't really mind, particularly at the coffee shop with my first name. As long as I end up with my coffee, I don't care what you call me.
Yeah, got it. So there's some things to worry about and there's other things not to worry about, Clarissa, and I think that's you got that sorted. Clarissa, let's be, I'm going to be really broad for the start. And fill us in, who is Clarissa Raywood?
God. Right now, the 46-year-old version of myself, I'm a lawyer in my day job. I don't love defining myself by my career, but that's what I am in my day job. Mm-hmm. I am a mum to two dance kids, and so I actually, if I had my choice, I'd just be a full-time dance mum. If I could find a way to monetize that, I would. Mm-hmm. I'm a wife, I'm a business owner. I don't know, I'm all these things, but the stuff that I love most in life is creativity, I think, and just making stuff and exploring stuff and being curious and reading and color. And I don't know, I love creativity. So people that are doing things in the creative space or taking creativity to something traditional always interest me. And I love hanging out with people.
Mm. Clarissa, thank you. It's I think I've known you for a few years now. And I have the beauty of knowing your online and offline community, and we've connected over a few things. And I've really been inspired by the way that you do things differently, Clarissa. And I think that comes from your interest in various different creative angles and different industries and all sorts of stuff, whether it's dance or swimming or lawyering or positive psychology or what, all those type of things that do come together. And that's what I really want to explore today, because this is a podcast for service-based businesses. Service-based businesses can be pretty similar Mm-hmm. To be, we can do it differently, and I think that's the real angle I'd love to explore today. So, with that in mind, you mentioned your family, you mentioned the kids, you mentioned the dance. How about from a work side of things? Tell us, what's the short summary of what you do now, and how'd you get here, Clarissa?
Yeah, certainly. So I run a business, Brisbane Family Law Centre, and at its core, it's a divorce law practice. It is different. I think it's always weird when someone says, oh, but my business is different. It's like, well, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. Visually, my practice is probably not what people would expect from a law firm. And mm-hmm. you can jump on the website and immediately you'll see I've had my website described as a website for an ice cream store, not a law firm. I was like, perfect. So I've really deliberately set up a business that selfishly is designed to make my life as easy as it can in an industry that is not always the easiest to work in. Mm-hmm. And importantly, is deeply focused on the client experience of separation and divorce. It's such a challenging time for any human being. So every aspect of how I've built this business has tried to have at the front of my thinking, how can I try and make this horrible experience easier for any person encountering it? And I've just applied that thinking to literally every layer of every single thing that we do or that we are, or that the premises is, the website is, whatever it is. So that's the law firm. Over the last 10 years, as a result primarily of my own challenges of being a lawyer within an industry that is known for being quite grey, I started to do a whole lot of research on the question of what does it take to build a career in law that enables you to live a happy life. Mm. And wellness, the psychological impacts of the work that we do, plenty of research in this space that tells us that there's lots of challenges. And what I've focused on in my research is knowing those challenges, genuinely, what does it take to counter them? And so that has led to a second business, which is the one that you've certainly had a lot to do with, Happy Lawyer, Happy Life. And that primarily is around working with other lawyers, many of whom, like me, are running businesses. And just as a community, trying to constantly be in a space of improvement and constantly questioning, is this the way? Just because it's been done like this for a really long time, is this still the way for the future? The world is clearly really different than it was even just 4 years ago. So that's what that business is doing.
Got it. Thank you. And so the even shorter summary is the family law practice and the business that supports other lawyers to be the very best they can be. Chris, yep, is that better?
Just get you to pitch me. Easy.
Very good. Chris, I want to circle back to the whole different thing because there's so much to explore there. But yeah, I'm with you. People say my business is different to everyone else's business. And look, at its heart, in the eyes of the owner, it is. It probably is. But mm-hmm. from the audience or from people on the outside, they can all look the same. And so I liked what you said there. I think you said, correct me if I'm wrong, but all the way along the line, your decision making or your filter for making decisions has been easier, to make it easier for, I think, your customers or your clients and your team members and everyone involved. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Always coming back at it from both angles. No, a decision is no good if it's great for the team and terrible for the client and mm-hmm. vice versa. You know, great for a client, revolting for a team. So for me, it's that filter and frame the whole way of how does this work best to make it easier for the client? And we describe the feeling in here as we're trying to create a sense of a warm hug everywhere we go. So it can be so hard. Now, not everyone that comes and does business with me literally wants a warm hug. I get it. But that's the feeling I'm going for with the decisions and the actions that we're taking. And then from a team perspective, how can people exist in my workplace and have a culture that, again, still has that element of warm hug where it's respectful and it's kind and at times it's fun and at times it's serious, but we're still got that sense of I feel really safe here. That's really important to me.
Yeah, got it. Chris, I think that's such an important point. And so for you and your business, the lens of easier is the question that you're asking often. And for all the people that are listening today and they've got their own business, maybe easier is the right filter for them, or maybe it's cheap, or maybe it is quality, or maybe it is community. It doesn't matter what it is, but having a filter, having a theme that you see the world through, and then be consistent with applying that theme. That's the way we actually build a unique, different business rather than one that only looks different to the owner. Clarissa, would you agree with that concept?
Absolutely. And I think sometimes those filters can change, can't they? Like, you know, maybe if you're in the startup phase, your filter's something.
Yep.
Get up and running fast.
Yes.
And then as you become more established and you're able to refine certain things, or you've tested things and worked out that this product works and that doesn't, you know, often our filters start to shift, which is cool.
Yeah, entirely. I think the filter for the first 5 years or so, Clarissa, is pretty much always yes. Yes, I can do that. Yes, we just have to get momentum and revenue and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And then we can move on to the questioning. Hey, Clarissa, the warm hug that is the Brisbane Family Law Centre is the culture, the feeling both online and offline that you work very hard to build. And I think that's a really great example because it works for you. It fits you. It's very important for you personally and for the business you're building is my assessment. But I think it's probably quite polarizing for some people. Some people will love it and some people will say, that is not for me. Is that the case, Clarissa?
Absolutely. And that's really deliberate as well. You know, I'm very clear on the ideal target for both of my businesses, the ideal clients. Our divorce work is very much premised in the out of court, trying to find solutions, not ending up in fueled litigation that's really angry. And so usually, if you're not interested in a warm hug, you're probably not going to be interested in finding a solution with your former partner that meets both of your needs. And so it's just become, again, a really good, easy way for me to go, these are the types of clients that I know we can work best with, and these are the things that matter to them, mm-hmm. versus this cohort of human beings over here, different things matter to them, and that's cool. I don't need to service them. So, yeah, it all comes back to that clarity around who am I trying to do business with, what matters to them, and how can I structure a business that really delivers that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it. And so that's the lens of easy and the culture or the philosophy of the warm hug that you're creating really do help to define the business that you're running. Yeah, Clarissa, that's so the examples are so clear, but they can be thought through and applied in many different ways in many different mm-hmm. industries, which is what I really like. And again, back to the point of being different, so many service based businesses just don't choose what it is that they want, they want, and that's that. This is by you choosing that. Yes, it's polarizing, and yes, dare I say it, it pisses some people off. Or maybe it does, or maybe they just walk somewhere else. Whatever the case is, it makes a difference for you attracting the right people, Clarissa. And that's what we're all here to do. And so that is excellent, Clarissa. On a similar but different concept, I might be jumping around here, but tell me, what on earth is a confetti lawyer?
Oh, look, I didn't know either until someone threw the comment at one of my colleagues that works with me here. She went to a function and someone said to her, oh, you're one of those confetti lawyers, like in a really disdainful way. She came back to work. She's like, I got called this last night. I was like, oh, I don't mind that actually. So now I've just created a whole merchandise world out of the phrase.
Yep.
But the confetti thing came about because I wrote a paper and did some research and presented a keynote for a period of time called Shake It Off, Why Confetti is the Answer to the Modern Lawyer's Problems.
Mm.
And the whole ethos behind that is if you want to create a difference in any situation, you actually have to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, confetti coming into law land is an obvious way of saying here's a very visual way of saying something different has to happen if we're trying to change the culture of this industry. And confetti is an easy one because it's associated with fun things in life, which usually law firms are not. And so then something that I've always done in my brand, because I like colourful stuff, is whenever I send packages, I've always confetti bombed people because it's just fun. Like I'm just like nothing better than sending stuff to other lawyers and knowing that I've just driven them insane, covered their keyboards in glitter. Like it's just something I did. I don't know why I did it, but I've always done it.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think that accusation came from, is, oh, you're one of those confetti lawyers, there's people that send confetti everywhere. And so, yeah, now I am. And now I know people, when they get packages from me, that, again, polarizes them. There's two groups of humans. There's those that open the package knowing full well there'll be confetti all over their desks for the next week, and they love that. And there's the people that will not open the package before they've, like, put a drop sheet down.
Right.
So that they can go, she's not ruining my life with her confetti. But, again, the whole point for me is you got to get, if you want to do something different, you got to do something different. And getting people thinking about what makes you happy in life and what makes you content and what does happiness mean, and little visual reminders like confetti are easy ways of doing it. So it was a long answer to your question, but it was an insult that I turned into a product. That's the answer.
But Carissa, thank you. It's, the long answer was useful, so I appreciate it. And but I think there's something unique that we need to, that I'd like to highlight in your answer, and that is that someone's described you and your business as confetti lawyers, and in a disdainful, looking down the nose type of way. And you could have been like many service-based business owners and taken offense and decide to try and be liked by another person and trying to change that person's perception or view of you. But you decided to say, well, you know what, I sort of like it, and I'm going to keep doing it because it's important to me. And I get it that at the time you probably didn't have that sort of deep response, or maybe you did, I don't know. But the reality is we can't be liked by everyone, but we have to like ourselves. And so do the stuff that makes us happy, Carissa. That is the response the point I wanted to make from there. Well, what do you make of that, Carissa?
Yeah, I agree. And again, I think, I hope my mother never listens to this. I sound so much like my mother as I say these things. The older I get, I hate saying that, but the older I get, the more content and truly comfortable I am with this idea that not everyone's going to like me. You know, had you asked 18-year-old Clarissa, I would have been the one that would have gone, oh my God, I can't be a confetti lawyer. Oh, someone doesn't like that. Oh, you know, just the more you live life and the more you experience the ups and downs of life, I think the more content we all become with accepting that not everyone's going to like what anyone's doing. And then I take that the next level, like, who really cares at the end of the day? Like, who are these magical humans that we speak of that don't even like us? Like, who are they? And where are they? And I come back to that somewhat macabre thought of, if it was my last day on this earth, how much would that person's opinion matter to me? And in that moment, zero. And I just use that all the time as my filter for that. Those hurtful moments where someone is saying something that you think to yourself, oh, you know, I put a lot of work into that. I really thought that was a good idea or a good thing, or I've tried really hard with that client job and they were not happy about it. I always come back to that. This was my last day. In the scheme of everything, how important is this? And that's always my little test to know, do I need to invest energy in this, or do I just need to try and take a deep breath and go, it's hurtful, but move on.
Yeah, true. Carissa, thank you. You described that really well. And Carissa, in preparation, and I did prepare for this interview with you, Carissa, there's some insight. But I watched a short video of you presenting. It was a couple of years back. It was in Brizzy. And you shared three tips from your time in business. And one of them was about self-belief. And one of them said, self-belief, it will be forever challenged, was the sub-point that you made. And I think that ties back into this point, that there will be forever challenged. And if we try and please everyone, our self-belief will be eaten away, and we will not make the progress that will probably make us content and purposeful in life. Is that the point that you were making in that video, Carissa?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I know the video because I was heavily pregnant. Is it that one?
That's the one. Yeah. Depot next. That's right. It's
I was really pregnant, and I remember the organizers of that event were so paranoid that I was like literally going to have a baby on their stage. It was so funny. Anyway, that's not the question that you're asking me, but that's my memory that comes when you say that. Absolutely. Self-belief, and I think to be a business owner, you already have to back yourself. To even just make that call and say, I'm going to run a business, you've got to have some real confidence. Mm-hmm. And then you have to accept, I think, or I encourage you to accept if you haven't already, that confidence is going to be chipped at on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And the psychology tells us that our human brains are going to pay more attention to the moments where someone's chipping at that confidence and really stick to that than we ever will to the moments where someone sends the email that says, hey, that was just so helpful. Thank you so much. We go, of course it was, and we move on. And so you've got to build systems in your life where you are purposefully acknowledging the good things, the moments where people say the nice things, so that you're ready for the moment when someone says the opposite. Mm. You know, and we have to think about those negative inputs, and we have to give thought to where they're coming from, and we need to self-reflect, because sometimes they're very relevant and it's how we learn. But often they are moments where we also just sometimes need to say, well, I don't really agree with that feedback and I'm going to press on anyway. Because I believe in myself. But I think you've got to build systems around that. Well, certainly that's what I've done, and it helps me. It's almost like I can turn to this wall that you can't see that's full of good things, so that when some negative email, usually is how it comes to me, negative email or social media comment or whatever it is comes in, I can go, ooh, and then I can go, okay, these people like me, it's all good. Okay, now carry on.
I think that the systems is critical, Carissa. We've self-belief. Yes, to start a business, you need to have self-belief. But if you do respond to every piece of feedback and allow that chipping away to happen, then that's where the different disappears and you become the same worn down, burnt out, trying to please everyone, service-based business owner that is almost impossible to soldier on and serve yourself, serve your family, serve your team, and serve your clients if we don't have that self-belief and we don't have systems around it. And look, whether you like it or not, if you're a business owner, you are a leader, and leadership is a lifestyle, is my belief. Leadership is a lifestyle. And so we've got to have the systems around it to protect ourselves and to make sure it's working. So, Carissa, you already mentioned one of the systems there, and that is that you move your eyes off the screen and you look around at the people around you, and you either get a physical hug or at least a virtual hug of some description. But how else do you do it? How else do you manage your own your mindset and your heart set and your soul set? Like there's so much to it, Carissa. Yeah. So tell us how do you do it?
Yeah, one of the biggest tools in my toolbox is my best mate Mel. And ringing her as I drive home, and to the point where she and I are talking about starting a podcast this year that's just about capturing our stupid chats as we drive home, because everyone needs it, but everyone needs a human. And Mel runs a business, I run a business, which is quite similar, and I love that I can just ring her. It's like that vent moment where you just go, this happened. She doesn't need to say anything, she doesn't need to do anything. She listens to me, I listen to her. It's so powerful. And that 10 minutes as you drive home, it's like you release it from the day, and then I can turn up and be Clarissa, the chaotic mum, and the different hat. So I think having humans in your life that get you and that you can be honest with is so important. Mm-hmm. And as you said, there's so many layers to this, but I am a huge believer in health. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always more capable of managing hard things when I am in a healthy state. And health for me is a combination of eating really well, sleeping really well, and moving in some way, shape, or form. And right now it's swimming. Like I'm addicted in this moment to swimming, but then it'll get cold again and I'll have to find something else to be addicted to. And I'm like that with fitness. So it's like whatever it is, I'm just all in. It just moves around. But so important. And I've been tracking that within myself lately of if I swim every morning, how much easier the day is and how much easier I can push through hard things. So I think that if you're in peak performance, hard stuff's easier. If you're not in peak performance, hard stuff's harder. Yeah. And then lots of internal dialogue, lots of chats. I hope everyone does this. I hope I'm not the only person that's like is just in my head going, reasoning, thinking, I don't know, lots of internal chat.
So the physical fitness and the physical fitness, a friend or connection somewhere, and then your own ability to reflect and replay and organize your own thoughts. Are they the three big things for you?
Yeah. You're a really good reframer. That's what I'm learning in this podcast. Carry on.
Oh, I think I'm doing my best to listen closely, Carissa. Hey, Carissa, tell us about that. The third thing of the I don't think I quite grabbed your words, but the reset of the replay, because for me, I have so many chaotic thoughts. And I can worry about stuff, sometimes important stuff and sometimes almost useless stuff. And writing it down, I can write much slower than I can think, and therefore it helps me to slow down. So journaling is big for me. Journaling is helpful. How do you do it? Are you able to do it without writing, or how do you organize those thoughts of yours?
Yeah, I do it without writing. Swimming is actually great for this, I think, because I do a lot of that thinking now while I'm swimming. Mm. Any of those thoughts that are mulling around in the evenings, I know there's no point, particularly if I've woken up at 2 a.m., which is not uncommon when you're worrying about something, I find. Yeah. I know that nothing good's coming from that thinking at that time of night. And so I just let it be, and I will be saying to myself, you can go here, but nothing good's going to come from this. Something about nighttime, this is never good for me. Yeah. Swimming I find really powerful with this because it's such an activity that you really are at one with your thoughts. Like sound's gone, everything's gone. Mm. I don't know. And so for me, I just am at one with thinking. When I first heard about mindfulness when I was researching my happiness stuff, I always associated mindfulness with that last 10 minutes of the yoga class where I'd leave, you know, at the moment where they say, okay, everyone lie on your backs. I'd be like,
because
I'd be lying there and I'd like my brain's on fire and like I'm failing at this mindfulness activity because I can't not think, not realizing that, as I understand it, it's not so much about not thinking, it's about paying attention to what you're thinking. Now I love that 10 minutes of the yoga class and I just actually fall asleep because I'm old now, so it's great. But I think to answer your question, for me what it is trying to find a way to allow those thoughts to be but being present with them. Sounds a bit woo-woo and weird, but that's what I do. And I just am content, I think, having lived a lot of challenges that I will find a solution. I'm an eternal optimist. Some would say a little bit too optimistic at times, but I work in that frame that I will find a solution. There always is one, and I just need to be at one with whatever I'm thinking and just keep working it through.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. Carissa, the swimming concept and the reduction, get rid of the noise and all that sort of stuff, I really think there's something in that for me as well. And so I'm here in Victoria. It is much colder in Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a great sport for you.
Yeah, that's it. Having said that, my family, we're fortunate enough to be spending a few weeks at the beach and swimming in the ocean and just getting under the waves, catching a few waves, body surfing, or surfing or boogie boarding, whatever you want to do, but just being immersed in the ocean and swimming, whether it's swimming lap after lap or whether it's getting your head under the water and hearing the waves rolling around, sort of stuff. There's something in that for me as well. It really does. It's almost like a massive white noise for me that I was a bit to reset. And it sounds like swimming and or you've built the skills to be able to do it. Wherever you are, which is a pretty powerful skill, Carissa. So yeah, I'm impressed by that, Carissa. It's most of us, I know there's the replay and there's the replay and there's the replay and which can be wearing it down. A mentor of mine once came across me in a pretty worried state and he set me straight. And this has stayed with me for a long time, Carissa. He looked me in the eye, said, Tristan, worry doesn't work. He said, a plan works, but worry doesn't work. And I'm like, well, thanks. But setting me straight, I've wasted years on this worry sort of stuff. But fortunately, worry doesn't work is a really powerful reminder for me. So yeah, that's thank you, Carissa. That is really powerful stuff. You've been in business for 15 odd years. Is that about right?
Yeah, 15 years. Yeah.
And so that's on the lawyering side of things. I wouldn't mind you telling us a little bit more about the Happy Lawyer, Happy Life business, because that's related, that works with service-based business owners, being lawyers, but not delivering the service of a service-based business. So tell us, what is Happy Lawyer, Happy Life, and start from there.
So it began as a book. I wrote a book, Happy Lawyer, Happy Life. That book became a podcast. That podcast and book turned into a course. That course turned into a online membership. Which you're familiar with, because we then, through the membership, started running events and conferences for the people in the membership, which are largely small law firm owners. Yep. And so really it's, I guess you'd almost call it like a business mastermind to a point, the membership piece that sits at the heart of Happy Lawyer, Happy Life. But what that business has enabled me to do is create lots of interesting creative ways of touching the industry, playing in research, being creative, doing partnerships with brands that would never have been able to do if I was a Clarissa Raywood, I'm a divorce lawyer. And so I think in so many ways, Happy Lawyer, Happy Life is ironically the piece that enables me to remain Clarissa Raywood, the divorce lawyer. And it's like the two feed each other. I love learning from others. So again, I've probably selfishly built a bit of a business that enables me to be a better business owner. You know, I get to meet people like you, bring you to events, learn from you. I learn when I'm teaching. So it's like all of that just feeds around it. But it's lovely to have a community of lawyers who are all striving to do things in a way that is making the industry the best it can be and servicing their customers and clients in the best way they can. And there's just lots of fascinating, cool business models coming out of that little world. And I find it really energizing to be a part of it.
Yeah, got it. And so it's both a of service to you while you're being of service to other people, Carissa. Yeah. And that must be pretty self-fulfilling. You must be quite purposeful to be able to do that sort of stuff for both yourself and for others, Carissa.
I think so. Like I like to think I'm a really purposeful human being. I'm busy like everyone's busy. I love being like really active with lots of things. But for me, it's always comes from a place of really understanding why I'm doing something. And that drives through all aspects of my life. I don't really just do stuff for the sake of stuff unless it's deliberately done because I don't know yet and I'm trying something. Still, that's the purpose in it.
Yeah, got it. And so, Carissa, with the movement or community that is Happy Lawyer, Happy Life, it is for legal practitioners and legal business owners, no matter which part of the law that you serve. Is that right?
That's right. And so we have members all over the country. People like me that practice in family law, but I have people that practice in construction law, people that practice in all sorts of diverse spaces in, I call it lawland. Yeah. It's not so much about that. It's more than anything around probably the running of the legal business, and really doesn't matter what practice area we're in. We're all facing the same challenges in running a legal business. And so having a place to talk about that is, I find, really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And if, of course, your industry being in the legal industry and my industry more traditionally being the healthcare or physio world, but there used to be so, I found, and still in various places, but physio business owners can be quite secretive and concerned with sharing and asking and being vulnerable in others' industries. And I suspect it might be the same in some parts of the legal world as well, but you've done your best to drop those barriers and support each other to succeed and all boats rise on the rising tide, so to speak, or something like that, Carissa. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely my philosophy is, I run a small law firm. I'm never going to be able to service every single human being in Australia going through divorce and separation. I have no interest in doing that at all. And I really have this belief that the market is big no matter where we are, and we don't need to sit and, hold tight every aspect of what we're doing. And so much of what we're doing, everyone else is doing anyway. So it's not like it's top secret. So it is a space of openness and collaboration and sharing. And, you see in the club, which is our membership community, it's primarily run through a Facebook group. Someone will come in and say, oh, this is happening, and has anyone dealt with this before? And 10 people will go on and say, yes, this is what I did. This is how this happened. This is what, or I'm looking into doing something that involves X. Any suggestions around how I can do that? Yes, absolutely. This is what I did, blah, blah, blah. And I find it just leapfrogs people through stages. When you're a silo in any business, it's so hard to know whether what you're doing is useful. Whereas when you got the views and thoughts of others who have a similar value set, that's what I think is really important. There's no point taking advice from someone whose goal in life is entirely the opposite of yours. But when you're in a group of people whose values are aligned, that advice is so valuable.
Understood. Thank you. And Carissa, it's I was a speaker at your retreat. That's for the audience who are listening in. Carissa invited me to speak at her retreat in where was that, Carissa? Where was it held?
Kingscliff, it was. Yeah. Kingscliff,
that's right. Northern New South Wales, almost on the Queensland border. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken at your event, Carissa, and I've also spoken for other law events. I've spoken to accountants and I've spoken to all sorts of industries. And right at the start of this conversation, you talked about creating a warm hug is the culture you're creating. And I could absolutely sense and feel the warm hug physically, but also there was just a vibe, just the feeling of a warm hug. And so the beauty is that you have aspired to build something, and then it's not just all words, it actually is a feeling from that side of things. And so I think you've done an amazing job with that, Carissa. And with that in mind, my next question is, what have you learned about happiness for lawyers, and what could it mean for the rest of us? I'm pretty keen on knowing a little bit more about this, please, Clarissa.
There's a whole book on that, but yeah. Happiness for lawyers, happiness for humans is different for all of us. It's different for all of us. But what I think leads to happiness ultimately for all humans is living a life consistent with the human being that you are. Obviously, like some in Australia, we don't have so many of the worries most of the time that others in the world might have. So obviously a level of freedom, safety, assuming all those things are at play. What it comes back to is being clear on what a good life looks like for you, looks like, feels like, involves, and then making your decisions accordingly. And the challenge in law, I think, sits hard, like mostly in, it's really easy in an industry like ours to get sucked into the career being everything and then your human decisions being made through a frame of this is what matters for my career, so I'll deal with that parenting choice after I've decided on my career choice. Mm. So everything's sort of built around that, and the other parts of your life fill in the gaps. And my whole, I guess, methodology is reverse engineer that. Get clear on what a successful life looks like for you in whatever state that is, and then make your decisions in your business or in your career consistent with what success is for you. Because it's easy to get sucked into success being a whole lot of money, for example, only to discover that divorce lawyer here, you can have a whole lot of money and you'll be a deeply unhappy human being. So it's that navel-gazing moment of, what does a successful life look like for me? Writing that down, then being clear as you're making a decision. For example, you might be employed in a firm and have the opportunity for a promotion, and then I'd be looking at the promotion, I'd be looking at my successful life and saying, are the two connected? Mm. Or does the promotion mean that successful life, ironically, is no longer a thing for me? Okay, well, do I need that promotion? Neither's right nor wrong, but it's the clarity and the purpose in saying, I am going to choose my life. I'm not going to let life choose its way for me, and I'm just going to sort of bundle along. There's a whole lot of stuff, though, which is wonderful, particularly in the positive psychology world, in science generally, where studies that have been going on forever have looked at what leads to happy people, relationships, connectedness, a sense that someone else cares about me. They're the things that really drive happy human beings. Health, massively important. You know, these just really simple but massive aspects of everything that we're doing.
Mm. Clarissa, that is my summary that I wrote down is decide what does success look like for me, and then use that as a decision making tool to decide what how do I go. How's my summary, Clarissa?
Tells you a great reframer. I'm going to bring you across if you become a divorce lawyer. That's how I spend my life. So what you're really telling me.
Very good, but Clarissa, I reckon that can change, and so that promotion example, you spoke of, for the, let's stick with the legal world for the time being, for the 25-year-old lawyer or thereabouts, the promotion might be deeply aligned with happiness at that time, because professional career is nearly everything in said life, but the 35 or 45-year-old lawyer who may have chosen different responsibilities and directions in life, that promotion may be completely at odds with what success looks like. Is that the case, Clarissa?
Absolutely. So your marker of success, your vision of success shifts absolutely as life goes on, as you move through different stages, as perhaps you add family, as you might have caring responsibilities, you might win lotto. I don't know. All these things happen that just mean that you've got to be constantly revisiting what does that mean for me? And it's taking that time and being brave and sitting with what does it genuinely mean for me, not what does that person over there think it should mean, and then me living to that.
Mm, yep. Clarissa, there's In the work that I do with service-based business owners, we mentioned already that in the first few years of owning a business, saying yes to most opportunities is pretty important to get going, get the ball rolling with your business. And I do wholeheartedly have lived that and believe that for a start. But I come across service-based business owners who have been running their business for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, or even more, and they're still in the habit of saying yes to everyone and serving everyone at the expense of serving themselves. Is that the complete opposite of finding happiness in some ways, Carissa?
It can certainly lead to unhappiness, can't it? So I had to overcome this, and I think the thing that helped me most was reframing what it means to say no. The minute you say no to something, what you're actually doing is saying yes to something else that matters more. And it's really hard to say no. You know, when you're a human being, we are wired to connect with others, be liked by others, all of these things. In business, I think you have often a bit of an overarching fear of, well, if I say no to this client, will there be another one? That's often what's driving it.
That's right.
But if you don't say no to that client, and in my example, in law land, who sure can pay the bill but is going to make your life hell, what you are doing is allowing that person to take over that space, and then you can't say yes to the next person that does come that was the ideal client, that wasn't going to drive you nuts, that was going to make life easier for you. So for me, the ability to say no is a learned skill, and I had to sit and say to myself, yes, I'm saying no to so-and-so for whatever reason, but that's because I'm saying yes to this. And you've spoken a little bit, you use the language of almost like a decision-making framework. I love those, because the minute you create a decision-making framework, it's like you made the decision and it just makes all your decisions easy. So COVID created one for me. I didn't realize till the COVID lockdown period how much travel I was doing and also how much I was out at night at business events. So every time someone would email me and say, can you come to this thing? I'd be like, sure, I can. And from starting a business, you go to everything, don't you? You want to connect with everybody. So I just got into this pattern in life of going, sure, I can, sure, I can, sure, I can. And it wasn't until there were lockdowns and I was at home, I was like, wow, how much of my time has been going to these things or traveling around the country to present at a thing, and do I really need it? And so post-COVID, I just created a rule, life rule, which is I don't travel, go out at night for business-related activities. I certainly don't go to breakfasts, because that's chaos. The minute you go to a breakfast and I can't get my kids to school, it's just like a mess of a day. I don't. And what that has helped me to do is I start from a frame of I just actually don't do those things. But if I get an opportunity, then I pause and I ask, well, do I really want to? Rather than historically just, oh, I do that. That's what I do. And everyone sort of knew that I just turn up to the opening of an envelope almost. And now that I think they all know that I don't. And so when they actually pitch me to do something, it comes with this. And the reason you would want to come is, well, thank you so much. That's a long, waffly answer, but the ability to get clear again on where are you trying to go? What's serving me? How do I want to spend my time? And set up some rules around how you deal with that has made it a lot easier for me to be able to say, no, I don't.
Mm. Clarissa, I too am a recovering perfectionist and recovering say yes to everyone, because I still battle with wanting to everyone to like me. When I realise that it's a real battle and doesn't serve me well, but it is a battle. And so I think the tool or the type of tool you spoke of, a decision making framework, is so powerful. And we even mentioned one earlier. What does success look like to me? Mm-hmm. That could be a starting point for and success in work, success in health, success in business, whatever it might be. That's one. And secondly, I love that you said that saying no, or using a tool like this, whatever you want, however you want to say it, it's a learned skill. Just like from the bare beginnings, Carissa, I've got a small three-year-old boy in our family, and he at the moment is learning to use the toilet. And that is a skill. Yeah, exactly. And that is a skill that he is learning. And that's as rudimentary as it sort of can come from. But all the skills we've learned, interviewing you via an online platform is a skill that I've learned. Telling your story is a skill that you've learned, Carissa. There's so much. We are capable of so much, but we have to realize what our habits can change if we choose, and tools are the other things that do get us there. That's my experience, Chris. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that from your end?
No, I think no, in the sense that I wholeheartedly agree with you. And again, it comes back to that purposeful, I want to get better at this, I want to shift this, I want to change this. You've got to take some action, you've got to do something. Yep. Sits around all of it for me.
Mm, yeah, got it. Carissa, we're getting towards the end of this Think Big, Act Small podcast interview, but I wanted to ask you a question, and there are only two possible answers for this, and so it's a bit of a closed question, Carissa, so hopefully you can work with me. It's important for us service-based business owners that have progressed through the years, and so you are 15 years into your business, and you work with other service-based business owners, and identity is something that is a important but also a challenge for many of us. And so if you had to make a choice, Carissa, would you say that you were a lawyer or you're a business owner?
Business owner.
Business owner. Yeah, okay. And why? Why do you say that?
It's what I identify with. Like, the minute you ask me that question, it's just where I go. But the lawyer for me, when you put it in that context, the lawyer for me is the person that turns up and does the legal work 24/7, and I do that. But the piece that will make the biggest difference to how this business operates is when I put my business owner hat on and make more strategic, thoughtful decisions about what's going on around me. That's joyful for me as well. Yep. So if you told me that I was going to run a business but I'd be spending all of my time being a lawyer, I'd be out of here.
Yeah. So
that's where my joy place is.
Chris, thank you. I think it's important because there's so many service-based business owners who really battle with that. And I battled with it for a long time. Am I a physiotherapist or am I a business owner? And it got to a point for me that I was trying to do both. I was trying to be both a treating physiotherapist and a business owner. And I was doing both jobs pretty crappily. And when I made a decision to be a business owner and to support the physiotherapist and non-physiotherapist in our team, that's when I felt real purpose. I felt happier and I felt like I was doing meaningful work, but I could still choose to be a physiotherapist for half a day a week or a couple of days a week or whatever it was. And so dare I say it, back to decision-making is part of what can make us happy. There are many people in the work that I do, a battle with pleasing everyone, saying yes to everyone, and identity around the service that they learned as opposed to the career progression they've made to become a business owner can be a really important decision to make. Do you come across that with the work you do with lawyers?
Absolutely. And like, I've just, my brain's gone back to that great book, The E-Myth, which I read just before I started my business. And, you know, that reminder from Michael Gerber, I think it is, isn't it? That if you're going to start a business and you're a technician like you, a technician like me, and you remain a technician, you're really not starting a business. You're buying yourself a job. And that's okay. That's your goal. But the business piece and the ability to lead and to create and to drive something forward is both exciting and terrifying all at the same time. And I think I would say to anyone, if they genuinely just enjoyed being a technician, then please don't start a business because you just don't need that stress in your life.
That's right.
Get a job and get paid to have annual leave and take it. There are so many challenges that come when you say, I'm going to be self-employed. Like, why would you sign up to that if you didn't have some actual interest in creating something and doing something bigger?
Yeah. And Carissa, it's career progression. Most of the people that I work with are ambitious folk, and I'm sure the same with you, but there's many ways to progress your career without taking on the business ownership side of things. And so I think that's a really important intentional decision that that many need to make. And so that is important. Hey, Carissa, we're getting towards the end here. And so I want to say thank you. I want to say that it's been really, there's so many powerful things we've discussed. If people want to connect with you and follow the confetti lawyer journey or check out what on earth confetti lawyers might be in an online sense, how do they find you? Where's the best place to find you?
Yeah, I said to you, Instagram, The Happy Family Lawyer, only because I'm terrible with email. I get so many, and if people email me, I probably will forget to respond in a useful way quickly, whereas I'm really great on Instagram Messenger. I don't know why. And it's just a platform that I really enjoy. Such an easy social media platform to play with. It's visual. So, yeah, if you genuinely need to find me, that's where I would go.
Yeah, got it. And if you are a lawyer listening to this, or you know, you've got a friend who are lawyers, the Happy Lawyer, Happy Life book and the Happy Lawyer, Happy Life community is what we've been discussing, and spread the word would be a really powerful thing to do. But Carissa, as we've worked through this conversation, and then you also had a bit of a think about it beforehand, any other stuff on your mind that you'd like to share or mention or ask before we sort of wrap up this conversation?
No. Is that terrible?
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. It is an open-ended question. And if we are done, then we are done. And that is what needs to happen. So on that note, Carissa Raywood, thanks for being a guest. Lots to learn. I'm going to be following along on the confetti lawyer journey at Happy Lawyer, Happy Life. And I'm looking forward to learning from you, and I've learned plenty today. So thanks very much.
Thank you so much.